Today, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about guarding your heart. Guarding your heart. And I'm going to read, I'm going to start off in Proverbs 4, verse 20. I'm just going to read 4, 20 through 23. I'm not sure what version I've got on here, but just pull it up and then hopefully it reads the same. No, actually, it's NIV. I got NIV right here. Look, I was smarter than I thought. I put the version there. So anyway, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, but keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Now, there's a lot of good stuff in those four short verses. There's a lot of stuff we could talk about, but the thing that stands out to me the most when I read that, when I read that passage, there's a couple of things that really jump out to me. And that is, first is the last verse that says, above all else. So above all else, that tells me that, hey, there's some good stuff that was just said, but hey, this is important. But I love the way it starts out with that verse in verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention." I don't know how y'all seem saying this, but if your parents or if you ever talk to your kids and you wanted to tell you something and you just didn't feel like they were listening, what do you say? My son wasn't enough. Then he had to say, pay attention. So I feel like sometimes that God said to me, "My son, Jason." And then he's like, "Pay attention." He don't say it quite like that, I'm sure. But anyway, but pay attention. So this stuff is important. And so we're already talking about something that's important. All this stuff is important. But then that last verse, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another version says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life. Another version, the Amplified says, from it flow the springs of life. Another version says, it determines the course of your life. But above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we're going to talk tonight just about a few things. We're going to first talk about why, really quick, why we need to guard our heart. And this isn't a complete thing. It's just the first three things that I thought were important enough to write down. Why we guard our heart. And then we're going to talk about keys to guarding your heart. All right. So y'all ready? The first thing, why guard your heart? It's because your heart is extremely valuable. Now, when Solomon wrote this, he said, above all else, he said it because he really wanted us to get the value of what he was saying. Above all else. He didn't say, if you get around to it. Or he didn't say, if you have a chance to guard your heart. He didn't say, if you have time, guard your heart. Or if you have nothing else to do, guard your heart. He said, what? Above all else. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how you feel, whether you feel like you're on top of the mountain or whether you feel like you're in the lowest valley, no matter what, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Above all else. There's no need to guard things that are worthless, right? We're guarding something because it's valuable. There's no need to guard it if it doesn't mean anything. How many of you roll your trash out to the street the night before garbage pickup? Anybody? Roll your trash out of the street. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, well, and to you last night, now sometimes, I guess I'm supposed to say, now how many of you stay up all night and watch your trash to make sure that it's protected? How many of you stay up and all night? Jacoby? All right. You stay up all night and watch your trash? Okay. We'll pray for you after service. All right. So we don't stay up and watch our trash. Why? Why? Now, come on, y'all got to respond. I'm used to kids yelling the answers and coming up here and telling me, Pastor Jason, this is why. But anyway, why is it? Why is it? Mallory, why is it? She's like, don't pick on me. Don't pick on me. That's the only reason I said her name. All right. But we don't guard it. Why? Because it's worthless. There's no value to it. All right. So that's usually the case. But when we're camping, we had our trash bag tied up outside and, I got out the next morning, and there were holes all in the bag and trash sticking out of the bag. And so later that day, I saw the culprit. these crows flew in, and they started pecking the mess out of our garbage bag. And so for a brief moment, for a little while, I sat there and ran the crows off. We were throwing rocks at them and stuff. And then finally, you know what I did? I said, you know what? This is just trash. It's just trash. I'm not going to guard the trash anymore. All right. So anyway, but we don't guard things that are worthless. But he says, guard your heart. Why? Because there's value. It's something to be protected. It's something to be watched over. It's something that we can't let the enemy steal. We can't let the enemy infiltrate. We got to guard it so that it's not damaged or corrupted or hurt, right? Guard your heart. Everybody say, guard your heart. Man, y'all are good. Everybody say, above all else. Wow. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are better than the kids. We'll do it really loud in a minute. Like I tell them, let's do it loud enough that your parents hear you. Maybe we should do it loud enough so your kids hear you. Okay, everybody say, above all else. Oh, man. They're probably in there right now thinking, what are they doing? They're having so much fun in there. So, all right. Anyway, so above all else, we don't guard things that are worthless. We don't guard things that have no value. All right? Your heart is the core of your being. Your heart is the core of your being. It's valuable. The heart is where your dreams, your desires, and your passions live. Your heart is the part of you that connects you to God and connects you to people. Your heart is the part that connects you to God. It's your spirit, man, your inner being. Amen? It's important. It's valuable. So just a few things real quick. We're going to run through a bunch of verses. Guys up at the top, y'all don't have to try to keep up with me, but if you can, I'll be like super impressed, okay? Well, we're going to run through a few verses what the Bible talks about the heart. Mark 12:30. Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Luke 12:34. Jesus taught that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Ephesians 1:18, the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. In Proverbs 3:5, in the Old Testament, we are commanded to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Psalms 119:11 tells us to hide God's word in our heart. The heart does a lot of things. The heart is important. The heart has many roles. The heart is the doorway to spiritual life. Amen? First Samuel 16:7 says the prophet Samuel revealed that God doesn't evaluate people by outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. You say, y'all supposed to, when I pause like that, that's your chance to show us how much Bible you know. So, let's try that again. So the prophet Samuel revealed that God does not evaluate people by their outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. Amen. Wow. Y'all are soaking this in. All right. So Romans 10:9 says a person may be saved by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's with our heart that we believe unto salvation, right? The heart is valuable. The heart is important. The heart is worth protecting. The heart is worth guarding. Above all else, guard your heart, he said. The heart allows us to experience the fullness of life. It includes emotion. It includes a lot of things. The Bible says that the heart can be grieved, troubled, broken, pierced, divided, and joyful. The heart is the truest expression of who we are. The heart reveals our true nature of who we are. Amen? Everybody say, guard your heart above all else. So the first reason why we guard our heart is because it's extremely valuable. It's extremely valuable. It's precious. The second thing why is because our heart is the source of everything about us. It's the source of everything we do. That verse 23, it says it's the source of everything else in your life. It's the wellspring. In your heart, what happens in your heart overflows to every other part of your life. It overflows to every other part of your life. Your emotions, your dreams, your desires, your words, your thoughts, your actions, everything is affected by your heart and the condition of your heart. Every river, creek, stream, everything, every water source, you know, every river, creek, stream, whatever has a source, right? And without that source, it would stop. Well, there used to be a spring. There still is a spring. I was talking to the guy just the other day, close to where we grew up, out in the middle of nowhere, between Bearden and Holly Springs. We used to have to use raccoons to deliver our mail. And so my friends used to joke about, how do I get word to you about something? You got coons or something trained to deliver stuff to you? And they're like, no, we use pigeons most of the time. But anyway, out in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, there was our neighbor had this spring. It was just a shallow spring. It was just a little bit deeper than what my arm could reach, because if we wanted to touch the bottom, we ended up getting wet. But it was ice cold, but it was crystal clear. And every once in a while, you see the crawdad at the bottom of it, but it wasn't muddy or anything. I don't know why they were there, but anyway. And our parents would have freaked out if they knew that we would just go down there. And when we were hot, we've been playing. Mike Fell was my neighbor. I don't know. Any of y'all know Mike Fell? A lot of y'all know him. Crystal's husband, Mike Fell. Anyway, so we'd just be hot. We'd go down there. Man, we'd stick our head in that cold water and just suck it in. All the germs and algae and everything else that was with it. But it looked clear, so it was good. It was cold, and it was refreshing. Man, but I tell you what, but it had a source somewhere. It had a source somewhere. And so here's the thing about the source and the streams that flow from the source. If the source gets plugged, then it stops. The flow stops. If the source becomes poisoned, then everything downstream is impacted. Amen? And so it is with your heart. If the heart is impacted, if the heart is corrupted, if the heart is damaged, if the heart is hurt, everything else is impacted by the condition of the heart. That's why it's so important to guard your heart. Because it impacts everything else, your relationships, your career, your job, your career and your job. Those are anyways, your career, your family, your ministry, everything else about you is impacted by the condition of your heart. Everything. You may have stuff going on. And you say, well, I can do this and it won't affect me. I can do this without letting it impact me. I can allow this to happen. I can allow this to continue, but I'm not going to let it affect, everything out here. You can't control what it impacts. If your heart is impacted, then everything about you is impacted. That's why he said, above all else, guard your heart. Because he knew that your heart. And here's the thing, the heart of a believer, as soon as you say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you to have my heart. Then your heart becomes a target. Your heart becomes a target. And from then on, it becomes utmost important for you to guard your heart. Amen. Everybody say, above all else, guard your heart. Because it's the source of everything about you. I was wondering if somebody's going to repeat that. Usually people don't know when to stop when you say, repeat after me. And you have to say, that's enough, sir. That's enough. Okay. It's becoming mockery. Anyway. So here's the thing. So if your heart is unhealthy, it has an impact on everything else. Your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, your destiny, your legacy. Everything's impacted. The third reason why we need to guard our heart is because your heart is under a constant attack. And I mentioned this just a second ago. As when you become one of His, one of God, when you've got your heart, your heart becomes a target. See, there's a war going on 24/7. 24 hours a day, sometimes more. Sometimes it feels like more. Sometimes it feels like 30 hours a day, right? That's not possible. Quit saying amen. Some of you are nodding like this. You can't, there's not 30 hours in a day. Y'all stop it. All right. 24 hours a day. But it seems like, man, but there's a constant war on your heart as soon as you accept Jesus and give Him your heart. As soon as you do that, as soon as you say, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender to you. Immediately, the enemy wants to come in and try to take as much as he can away from the Lord. Jerry preached the other night an awesome message about lordship. Lordship, about surrendering and making Him Lord. The enemy is going to bring everything he can against you to try to get everything he can out from under the submission, out from under the lordship of Jesus Christ. All the time. Every day. Every day. And a lot of times he can outlast us, but praise God that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? So when we're talking about this, man, we got to realize there's a war zone. There's a war zone surrounding our hearts. And the minute you think, oh, I'm good, the enemy's not fighting me, watch out. Either he's already got you and you just don't know it, or you're in the calm before the storm. Because the enemy hates everything about God, and he hates everything that lines up with God. And if you have him inside of you, he hates you because of that. And he's after you all the time, constantly. Okay, so there's a war going on for your heart. See, God wants to fill your heart with peace, joy, love, happiness, and everything good. But the enemy comes to oppose everything that God does. He tries to come in and fill it with conflict, confusion, sadness, bitterness, hate. Everything that makes your life miserable. The devil opposes God and everything God wants to do. He opposes everyone who's for God. Was that going? You're going to let that stop y'all, though? How many of you are still for God? Amen? A few of you. Okay. All right. So, I mean, I know this isn't a deep revelation to y'all. I'm not telling you something you don't know. A lot of you have been in conflict. You know what it is to have to guard your heart. You know what it is to have to fight. You know what it is to have to face opposition. So I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just reminding you of why it's so important that above all else we guard our heart. It's because the enemy is after your heart. And if he can attack your heart, if he can lay a stronghold in your heart, he knows that that will impact everything else about you. He knows that if he can lay a stronghold, certain strongholds in your life, then he can begin to see your marriage suffer. If he can lay a stronghold of a certain stronghold in your life, maybe bad stewardship or not being wise with your money or something like that, he knows if he can attack this area, then he can start impacting your finances. The devil knows what to go after and where to put the stronghold, try to build the stronghold to impact the important things in your life. He's after that. He's not happy until he sees you out of God's will, out of God's plan, ineffective for the kingdom of God, and destroyed. That's the enemy that we face. That's the enemy that we're up against. But, praise God, I just said it a while ago, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Bible says it's not me that lives, but Christ Jesus that lives inside of me. Amen? It says no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us will be shown to be in the wrong. Amen? God has an answer for the opposition. So I'm not saying this to worry you or to scare you or get you upset saying, man, Pastor Jason, I was all happy and then he reminded me the devil's trying to get me every day. 30 hours a day, he's trying to get me. But I don't want to leave you like that. But man, God's given us everything we need to overcome the enemy. Amen? He said he's made us more than conquerors. Praise God. That's a different message. But let's just go on. So guard your heart. It's important. Those three reasons. Should I get somebody to name those three reasons? Bubble gum? No. I'll just name them for you. All right. Because our heart is extremely valuable. Because our heart is a source of everything about us, everything we are and everything we do. And because our heart is under constant attack, for those reasons, we have to make it priority to guard our heart. We have to say, above all else, I will guard my heart. So some keys to guarding your heart. We're going to try to get out before they do. Just to say we did. So anyway, so here's some keys to guarding your heart. Just a few things. A few things about guarding your heart. The first one is really self-explanatory. It's already in the scripture. We've already talked about it. Is that we have to make it a priority. All right? We have to make it a priority. We've got to understand the above all else. We've got to drill that into us. It's got to be so important. Your heart is so important that nothing else can take precedence over guarding your heart. You say, well, they wanted me to go with them to that movie that I knew I shouldn't watch, or they wanted me to go to that concert, or we can make excuses for everything, but none of them are more important than guarding your heart. Above all else, we have to guard our heart. We have to make that top priority. Okay, guard our heart. If anything will steer you out of God's will, out of God's plan, against something that God has already settled in your heart, then we've got to say no. I choose to guard my heart. When it comes to overcoming sin or addictions or anything like that in our life, we've got to decide that I would rather sacrifice doing that thing that I really kind of want to do, my flesh really wants to do. I'd rather sacrifice that than damage my soul, than to damage my heart. Above all else, I'm going to guard my heart. It's got to be priority. Number two, key to guarding your heart is have a good filter. You know, have a good filter. When I say filter, think of, our kids have always thought we were the worst parents in the world because we finally gave them phones that had internet. But when we did, they couldn't use the same browser everybody else used. They used one that came with a filter. They used a browser that was, it was really more of a Christian based organization that put it out. And, it was a built in filter where they couldn't look at certain things. But it was slow as all get out, you know? And it blocked a lot of things that really wasn't any reason for it to block. But it was a good filter. It was a good filter. And if you have a good filter, then you can, then it may cause you some inconvenience. It may cause you not to be the popular kid, but it'll help you guard your heart. You gotta have a good filter. And what I mean by that is we've got to learn to keep some things out. You know, there's a lot of things that are acceptable to a lot of people, but if you really want to move forward in God, there's some things you just got to get out of your life. Now, there's some big things we could talk about, things that we all know are contrary to God's word, but I wanted to bring this scripture up. This is the scripture I read that really, when God put this message on my heart, and it don't really talk about guarding your heart, but it was in Galatians 2 verse 5. And here's the thing, I'll set it up for you. So Paul, there were some people that were preaching some things that were contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were people saying there's some things you got to do ritualistically or just in yourself to make you right with God. But it was contrary to the gospel that Jesus had said. And he said that by faith you have been saved. And so there was this big conflict of things that you needed to do to be God's people. And so Paul said in this verse, what he said, the gist of it was that, I don't like that version. You can find another one and help explain it better. Some of these things I don't talk like that. So I got to get simple, like NLT or NIV or something like that. But anyway, but basically what Paul was saying is that these people came in to try to, you know, and they were preaching the gospel contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, we didn't give them any leeway. That's basically what he said. But we didn't give them even an hour. We didn't give them any place at all. Because what they were saying was contrary to what the gospel is. So we've got to come to a place in our life where we don't give the enemy any place at all. Anything that's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, anything that's contrary to God's word, we've got to come to a place where we don't give it place at all in our life. The Bible says, make no provision for sin. So sometimes people say, well, is this really sin? Well, what about this? I enjoy doing this. What's really wrong with that? And my wife, in all her wisdom on some of those touchy subjects like that, she said, you know what? The Bible says don't give provision to sin. And you know what? That might lead to something else. And so I'm not doing it, you know? I'm not going to have any place in it. I'm not going to be a part. We've got to come to a place where we're like Paul and we say, we gave no place to this. We gave no place to this thing that's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we all know some of the big things, but the last part of Proverbs 4, it mentions some other things. It's really a good chapter if you read on down through there. You know, man, it's awesome. It talks about perverse language. It talks about looking straight ahead, keeping our eyes straight ahead, not going to the right or the left, and removing your foot from evil. It's a good chapter, but some of the things, we know some of those big things like that, but for all of you diehard Sunday night Christians, you know, who I know have got the big things taken care of. So, but there's some other things too that really, that the enemy uses against us to damage our heart. One is a lack of faith, unwillingness to forgive, materialism, pride, a false belief system. All those things and the big things too, they can stop the flow of the wellspring of life just like any other major sin in our life. They can stop the flow of what God wants to do through our heart. So, garbage in your life, big or small, damages your heart. And the challenge that Paul gave Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24 was this. It's to set ourselves apart as a special instrument, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So that's our challenge. That's what I talk about when I have filters, preparing yourself, living a life that's holy. And I know when you talk about this kind of thing, you talk about removing sin, you got to be careful not to get into a legalistic thing where the goal is not to, Alan, you got this, you need to get it out. You know, sometimes we get too focused on the do's and the don'ts, and that's not the goal. The goal is to move forward, to grow closer to Him, to be more like Jesus. And sometimes we just got to get things out of the way that keep us from doing that. Amen? So that's the goal. That's the focus. That's the reason I say that we need filters. We need to have a good filter. The third thing, the third key to guarding your heart is to feed your heart with the truth. Feed your heart with the truth. Now, I know, and y'all can tell just by looking at me, I understand the word feed, okay? I know what it is to eat. I know what it is to feel myself, right? And so I know you do too. You're smiling at me. Some of you are skinny. That's okay. You still know how to eat, all right? But anyway, we all know how to feed ourselves. When we get hungry, what do? We eat, all right? Most of us, we eat. When we get hungry, we know how to put stuff in, right? Well, here's the thing. You have to worry less about getting the bad stuff out if you're busy with putting the good stuff in. That's why, man, if our focus and guarding our heart really becomes more about feeding our heart with the truth, pouring God's word, eating God's word, filling ourselves every chance we get, pulling up to God's table and getting ourselves full on Him. Because the fuller you are, I don't even know if full is a word, but the more full you are of God and of God's word and of the truth, the less opportunity there will be for the enemy to come in with the things that he wants to bring in your life. Amen? Feed your heart with truth. That's worth repeating. Y'all say it. Feed your heart with truth. Y'all almost sounded excited. We'll try again later. Okay. But guarding your heart is more about feeding your spirit than removing the bad. No. Okay, let's see. I got another opinion. Let me find my place here. Proverbs 4:20. You know, this is where it talked about the emphasis was given to pay careful attention to the divine truth. Pay careful attention. He said, pay close attention to my words. Pay close attention to what I'm telling you. Pay close attention to my words because my words bring life, right? It says my words bring life. There it is. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Go to the next one. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. This is the truth that we're talking about. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Everybody say, they are life. They are life. And if you fill your heart with life, guess what's going to flow to the rest of you? Guess what's going to flow to everything you do, everything you are? If your heart is full of life, then life will flow from you and every part of you and everything that you're about will be full of life. If you let life, if you hide them in your heart, don't let them out of your sight. As if they're life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. And the next one is where we get here, above all else. So they are life. The truth is life. Jesus said the truth would set us free. Right? Solomon, in his great wisdom, he encouraged his son to discern and hold the truth, the instruction close to his heart. See, we live in a world that really doesn't care that much about truth. The truth that we know, the truth that we talk about. We live in a world that doesn't care about truth. We live in a world that cares about what I want, what I feel. We live in a world that preaches tolerance rather than this stuff, rather than putting the truth in you. We live in a world that's losing sight of what truth is. But nothing can take the place of truth. Nothing will ever take the place of the one thing that gives life to your heart, to your spirit man, and that is the truth, the word. You see, our spirit came to life because of truth. The Bible says that faith, and we're saved by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's the word. It's the truth. It's Jesus, the word made flesh that came and gave us life. And it's that same truth, that same life that will sustain us and it will keep our heart and that will help our heart and that we can guard our heart with. If we pour the truth in, if we feed our heart with truth, then that will help us to guard our heart. It's not enough just to know facts about the Bible. There's a lot of people that can tell you about Jesus. They can tell you about how he died, how he was buried, how he rose again. But there's a difference between knowing the facts and knowing the truth. You see, there's a difference between facts and truth. You can know the facts, but until those facts become real to you, then it hasn't become truth to you. But when those facts become truth and they fill your heart and you hold them dear, it says to hold them in your heart, to lock them in your heart. Don't let them out of your sight. It's saying cherish those things. Hold those things valuable. Hold those things dear to you. Don't let them out of your sight. Don't let them loose, but hold them. And that's when they produce life in your heart. That's when it produces life. That's when your heart and the truth in your heart can become a wellspring of life to everything else you do. Amen? So it's not enough just to know the facts. I read this the other day. It said, facts provide information, but truth produces transformation. Amen? You can be head knowledge. You can have as much head knowledge as a man can have and not be a changed person. But when you accept and believe and hold on to the truth, then God will begin to transform your life in ways that you never thought were possible. Amen? God will begin to bring freedom. God will begin to open doors. God will begin to clean up and strengthen relationships. God will begin to bring life in every part of you. Amen? Do you want the life that Jesus has for you? Do you want the life that only He can give you? Do you want to see your outlook, your future, your destiny changed into something that's encouraging? To something that you can get excited about? To something you're passionate about? Truth can do that. Truth can transform you. And that's my encouragement to you today. So to guard your heart, know why it's important. Know the things that you can do to help guard your heart. And I just believe that as we guard our heart, as we do what He said, above all else. Everybody say, above all else, guard my heart. Because if you do, you'll begin to see the life of God begin to swell and bubble up in you. I'm telling you, man, I don't know. I mean, you guys know the difference. Is there a difference between the way you once were and the way you are now? And how many of you like to see that multiplied time over and time again in your life? As we guard our hearts, as we hold on to His Word, as we keep our hearts pure in a place where the truth of God can be filled and poured in and grow and grow and grow, I'm telling you, it becomes eventually you'll be like the prophet said, like a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. How many of you want that fire that you cannot contain? There's a difference in a person that knows Christ and a person that doesn't. There's something alive inside of you that has the power to change you and has the power to change everybody that you're around. I want that. I want that. If you want that tonight, if you just feel tonight just an urge on your heart, an urgency to guard your heart and to allow the truth of God to be poured in and to grow and to produce something that's full of life, then just stand to your feet with me right now. I'm up here. I'll be the first one to stand. I want it in my life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, God, for Your Word. Lord, I thank You, Lord God, that you sent us a Word that said, pay attention. Thank You, Lord God, for shaking us. Thank You for getting our attention, God, and telling us what we need to live and to thrive in You. Now, Father, I just pray, God, for everyone in this room, God, that's standing to their feet. God, they're saying, God, I want Your truth. I want my heart to be all for You. I want my heart to be guarded and to be filled with You and filled with Your truth. God, I just pray right now that the fire of the Holy Spirit would just rest on us, God, on everyone standing, God, that a fire of the Holy Spirit would just rest and reside in them, God, that You would speak to their heart, God, and that Your words of truth, Your words of life, God, would be held and cherished, God, and guarded. Lord, I pray that from this night on, God, that we'll begin to see the life of God swell up inside of us, to grow inside of us, God, to begin to move, God, and begin to pulse, God, until it begins to permeate through every part of our body and to everybody we know and everything we do. Lord God, because I know, God, Your Word says it, and I believe Your Word, God, when it says, Father God, that our heart, God, that our heart, if it's guarded, Lord God, everything that we do will flow from it, God, and everything that we do, God, will flow with the life of God that's in our heart. In Jesus' name.